Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is 11:21, and this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. One of my favorite people to talk to on WGN is our next guest. I have been chatting with him here on the radio pretty much since the first day that I came to WGN. And he was a regular guest with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong way before I was ever on the 720. And that is Jim Fazell, who is now a consulting horticulturist. I can't think of anybody who knows more about all things that grow than Jim. And Jim, it's great to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Dean. Good talking to you, too. I look forward to this every couple times a year to visit with you. You are an old friend. I remember the first time I met you, you were doing spots from a studio there at WGN all by yourself, sitting there, nobody around, and you had one script after another script after another script. How boring. So I stopped and said good morning.
That was I do remember you popping into my little cave that I used to have over at the other building where all I did was commercials back then.
That was it.
And fill in. I was the guy on the bench that when somebody called in at the last second, it's call Dean out of his cave. We need somebody to fill in.
Yeah. Well, you've done amazingly since that inauspicious beginning. So we enjoy visiting with you and seeing what you're doing lately. That's great.
It's very nice of you. I always also think of you when I'm in my backyard planting things, as I was yesterday. As I said, I was up to my elbows in mud yesterday, trying to replenish my soils a little bit. And, I put in some vegetables and, some things like that yesterday, as I imagine a lot of people were. Are there any general tips now, with the way the weather is and with all this rain that we've had lately, Jim, that, you know, people should, in a general sense, be taking care of right now?
Well, you know, the amount of moisture we've had is incredible. We had 8 inches of rain in April, and we've had over 10 inches of rain in May. Who could believe it? That's more than half a year's total rainfall in 2 months. So soils are wet. One of the things you want to do is be careful not to use these soils that are so wet that you really muck them up. Our soils have a lot of clay in them, and if you allow it to go through nature, the clay actually breaks up and makes little crumbs, aggregates, and if you squeeze it when it's wet, you break those all down, and when you don't have the aggregates, you don't have aeration, so you have a problem for the plants trying to grow because they can't get enough moisture, they can't get enough air for their roots because of the amount of moisture that's in that soil. So you have to be careful. Don't work the soil if it's really too wet. Now, I assume yesterday you got in before the big rains that we had.
About a half an hour before it started. My timing couldn't have been more perfect, right?
That's good. But a lot of things, actually, there's another problem in that the soils have been so wet. We're way behind on degree days this season. We're down between 25 and 40% on the total accumulated degree days that we should have now. So a lot of things that got out early have sat in this cold soil, and tomato plants that went out early have turned purple on top. That's not a nutrient. Well, it is a nutrient deficiency, but it's not because there's nothing in the soil. It's because the roots are cold. They're freezing down there. So we don't want to go to work. We're too cold down here. Wait till it warms up. So we've had a nice day yesterday. We're going to have a nice day today. The soils are beginning to dry a little bit, and if we haven't mucked them up, things should be in pretty good shape, and stuff ought to begin to grow. Yeah. So if you have plants that are purple, unless you're absolutely sure that you're short of fertilizer, don't fertilize them. It's there. Yeah. Just wait until the soils warm up, and they'll turn green for you.
I have one area, Jim, in my yard where I put tomatoes, and I got okay crops there, and then I would say the last 3 years, I got nothing, zero in that one area. So this year, before I put anything in, I tilled the whole area up. I mixed in some mushroom composts, and I put my tomatoes in. I'm hoping that maybe I'll get a little better result this year.
Well, if you dug the compost in deep enough so that you don't have a layer on the top that they try to grow in, you shouldn't have any problem. Now, the compost does provide some nutrient, too. If you've never fertilized that area, it might be worthwhile putting some fertilizer down there just to get those plants started.
Yeah.
I like to use a starter liquid fertilizer on them and then let them go for the rest of the season. Unless you have a real heavy fruit load, and then midway through the season, it might be worth side dressing with a balanced fertilizer just to provide what the plant needs, because it's used a lot of nutrients in growing and making that fruit.
Oh yeah, I was out there. You would have been proud of me with that tiller out there. The gas tiller tearing the whole thing up. I felt very, very manly out there.
Well, good. You have your shorts and your hat on.
I had my floppy hat to keep my bald head from burning up in the sun.
That's what I was thinking.
It's quite the look. Quite the look for the neighbors.
Right. One other thing I want to mention, there are some crops that people grow, things like okra, some of these crops that really take warm soils, any of the vine crops. There's no sense in putting that seed in the ground until you know the soil is warm. When the soil temperature gets up to around 70, 75 degrees and it's not too wet, then those things can be planted. Orion asked me the other day, well, how late can you plant?
Yeah.
Actually, we when I went to school here in the Chicago area back during the real war in the 40s,
yeah.
We got out of school at the end of June, and we didn't plant our victory gardens till the end of June. Gosh, that's a long ways off. We're 4 or 5 weeks before the end of June, so there's plenty of time to be ready. And even if you don't get planted then, we start in July planting gardens for the fall crops. So there's plenty of time to plant. There's no rush.
Somebody on our text line, Jim, asking, how do I get rid of moss and crabgrass?
Oh, well, I can answer that question. Moss is something that grows naturally where nothing else is growing. It is a plant that will take advantage of a situation where there's adequate moisture, adequate light, not too much light because it can be burned off, and some nutrients in the soil, and it will go ahead and grow. That's just a plant that takes advantage of a situation. I really don't try to get rid of it, although you really need to, if you do really have a problem with it, just rake it up or hoe it up and mix it into the ground. It probably will try to grow again, but that's all right. Crabgrass is another situation. If it's in your garden, hoe it out. If it's in your lawn, crabgrass preventers are the things that you want to use. And fortunately, since the season is so late, there's still time to put down crabgrass preventer, especially in the suburbs that are a little bit cooler, near the lake, for instance.
Yeah.
Any of these things will keep this seed from germinating that's down there in the soil so that you don't have a crabgrass problem. The other thing you want to do is to make sure that your grass is dense enough, no bare spots, that the crabgrass seed doesn't have any light, and if it doesn't have any light, it's rather reluctant to germinate. But it's an annual. If you have it this year and you miss the date to get the preventer down, suffer through with it until next year, and then be sure that you get crabgrass preventer down early enough and make sure that your grass is in good shape. You won't have the problem next year.
Yeah, get an early start. This is Mary on the Northwest side. You're on WGN with Jim Fizell.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I have a hibiscus tree that I'm babysitting with, and I'd like to know when I can put it outside.
Well, you can put it outside today.
Oh, really?
Sure, you can put it out. Now, is it in a big pot, little pot? How much?
Very big pot. I mean,
very big pot.
Yeah, it's a good-sized pot.
Is it a situation where you could shove it indoors if you really got some cold weather coming on?
I don't think so. I think the pot's too big. It's too heavy.
Well, all right. It can go out. We're going to have good weather probably from now on. I really, even though there's a microscopic chance of a freeze, because we usually say it could happen until the 30th of the month, which is the real holiday. Of course, we're doing it early this year. But nonetheless, the 30th of the month, we're pretty well free of any freeze. If it should happen that there is a freeze predicted and you can't move that poor little thing, if you have an old bed sheet or blanket that's not too heavy and you can put it over this thing just for the night, it will protect that plant. You won't have to move it. That's all you need.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. That was my next question. Can I use a sheet?
Yeah, maybe a nice pashmina or, sweater, something like
that. Right.
Thanks, Mary. I appreciate your call. Let's go to...
Thanks, Dean.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome, Mary.
Sue in Palatine is next on WGN. Hello.
Hello. I have a question with regard to boxwoods.
Yes.
There was a
a big boxwood issue last year. And I have several boxwoods that have come back and look pretty good. But I have one in particular that's very brown, very sparse, very dry. Should I dig it up and be done with it, or should I try to
bring
it back out this year and see if it comes back?
It depends on how attached you are to it. If you're thoroughly attached to it, you could regrow it, but it's going to take some time. Actually, we had a problem last year that we had a tremendous amount of winter damage, and this plant could have had just winter damage, but there are some fungi that come in that will affect those plants. If it looks like it's going to regrow and you really want to save it, take it and move it someplace else where you can regrow it like a little nursery of your own and put something else in that spot. But I wouldn't, if the rest of your plants are fine, I wouldn't be too inclined to try to save that one. Get something in. If you know the variety, make sure you get the same variety and put it in the spot that it takes and nurse it along, and then eventually we'll get up to the size of the others.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sue. Appreciate your call. You know what I noticed when I was working in my yard yesterday, Jim, was I always put Swiss chard in the yard. I love it. I break off the leaves and I cook it maybe put it in a salad. And usually I have to start over again with seed every year. But the Swiss chard from last year came back, and normally it doesn't. Does that mean it just didn't get a good hard frost?
That's what happened. The seed was down far enough in the soil that when we did have cold weather, of which we had very little, the seed was protected. And it's coming up now. That's fine. It may not look exactly like what you had last year, but it's still Swiss chard. If you had rainbow last year and these are coming up, they may be all green or maybe all red or something. But that's all right. I don't care what color it is when you get it on into the frying pan with a little bacon grease and a few other things.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? It actually is going strong, and it never comes up this early in the year. I mean, when I plant from seed, I don't usually get it until like the middle of the summer at least. I got an early jump on it this year.
You sure have. That's great. Yeah, and it's fine. You know, that's spinach for the summer. Spinach doesn't work in warm weather, but this stuff sure does.
Yeah.
And you're right. Pick the leaves off as you can use them and keep it growing. That's what you need to do with it.
You pick the leaves from the outer part of the plant, and then it just keeps growing from the inner part. Got a lot of text this morning, Jim, asking, how do I get rid of creeping Charlie?
Oh, boy. Charlie creeps no matter where you want him. Yeah, we have a problem here. We have a neighbor that has it. She's been trying to get rid of it, and we try to get rid of it. Actually, what we use, and we keep it out of our yard, first of all, by trimming it and pulling it out because it's an open area. But in the lawn, there's a material that you can use called triclopyr. That's an interesting name, but that stuff will actually kill the creeping Charlie, and you might have to use it more than once, but the timing is a little bit important, too. You really need to put that on when the plants are in bloom, and they're in bloom now. So the timing is good. That's the stuff you want to use. It's triclopyr, triclopyr. You can get it in garden centers in small amounts. Mix it up with water. Actually, if we're going to do it in a bare area where we have that, we put it in a sprinkler can and just sprinkle the stuff. Otherwise, in the lawn, it can be applied with a lawn sprinkler. Or you can hire one of the lawn care companies to come in and take care of it, and they will do that. In fact, a lot of these places will guarantee that they'll get rid of it. So if it takes a repeat treatment, they'll come back and do that for nothing. So that's a deal. But that's the way you take care of it. You have to use a herbicide that's actually going to kill it. And there are a lot of herbicides out there that you can put on, and they just shrug their shoulders and keep on growing. So use the stuff that will work. Triclopyr is the one.
815 area code says, my husband was the gardener, and he passed away. The tulips and daffodils all came up as usual. Do I cut them down? Do I let them die off? What do I do with them so I make sure they flower again next year?
Well, the factory that produces the bulb, that produces the food, that makes the flower come up the next year is the leaf. So you need to keep those leaves on there as long as possible. Eventually, they'll begin to turn yellow and fall over. When that happens, then you can take them off. Also, sometimes they try to make seed. I have some daffodils that are doing that right now. I need to get out there and cut those flower stems off so that these don't spend the energy making the seed. But you need to keep the leaves on as long as possible. The longer you keep them on, the more you're going to replenish those bulbs that are underground, and the better they're going to grow next year.
Even after the leaves have gone brown, leave them on there as long as possible.
No, you want to take them off when they turn brown.
Oh, okay.
But you want to leave them on and keep them green as long as possible.
Got
Don't
it.
Pull them off or...
Don't
or,
cut them.
No.
Okay, all right. Here is Pete in Saukville. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean and Jim. We've talked many times before, but this time it's about pineapples.
Of course it is.
right.
I have a 3x6 garden table in my house that on which I have been growing pineapples, keeping them over the winter, and then I put them out in the summer. Two of them have gotten mature enough to bear fruit. And these aren't ornamental ones. These are bought them in the store, cut off the top, and got them to go pineapples.
Right.
And I heard you before talking about covering plants against possible freezing and such.
Right.
Is it safe to put the pineapples out? I've been told that they will die if it gets below about 50 degrees.
You're absolutely right. In fact, usually we think about 60 degree temperatures on a lot of these tropical things may not kill them, but will set them back so far that it usually takes quite a while for them to recover. So you can put them out, but if you have some way of protecting them with a blanket or something so that the temperature doesn't get down lower than about 60 degrees, I think you're going to be okay.
Okay, I was wondering because I was looking at the at a 2-week forecast, and there's an overnight getting down to 51 coming up, and I was just worried about trying to put these things out now, especially since four of them are in 13-inch clay pots. They're immense and hard to move.
Oh yeah!
Look at you! Yeah. Look at you recreating the Dole Pineapple Company here in the Chicago area. Thank you for your call, Jimmy. How do you do that? I've heard when you buy a pineapple in store, you break off the top and put it in water until it starts rooting. Is that how it
works? You can do it that way, or you can set it on moist sand, keep it moist, put some plastic over the top of it so it doesn't dry out. Of course, the sharp stem or sharp leaves on that thing will probably puncture the plastic. But once you get leaves on it or roots on it, you can plant that thing in soil and you can grow it on. Now he has them in 13-inch pots. Those are big pots. They well out, just as he said. And it won't happen in 1 year. It's going to take you another year, maybe 2 years, before they really get to the size where they're going to make fruit. But it's an interesting exercise.
Yeah,
the other problem is that you have to have someplace indoors where you can keep these things growing, because they don't go dormant in the wintertime and sit there like geraniums would if you take them in for the winter.
Right.
You have to have a place where you can keep the temperatures up. They like to have 80 degrees in the day and not lower than 60 degrees at night.
Oh, wow.
You need to have pretty bright sunlight, not full direct sunlight indoors,
right,
because it's different than it would be out in the open. But it's a good exercise for somebody that's really patient, has a lot of time and nothing else to do.
Yeah, it might be fun for the kids also. Here's Caroline on the northwest side. Hi, you're on WGN. Carolyn, rather. Hello.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Carolyn.
I have a problem with rhubarb. This is my fourth attempt to grow it, and I bought a plant last year. It did fine. I didn't harvest anything. I let it die, and it came up this year. I have red stalks. And then I had beautiful green leaves, big ones, and then one of them turned red and died. Now two of the others are turning yellow. I don't know what's happening.
Well, a couple of things could be going on there. The place that you planted them just simply may not be well drained, and if that's the case, the stuff is going to have a hard time getting started. It doesn't like to be too wet, but then again, you don't want to plant it on a hill where it'll never get water in the summertime, because the same thing will happen there. There are not very, very many organisms or diseases that attack these things. It's usually a physiological problem. Now, if they're planted too deeply, they might do that. If they're in a wet spot, as I mentioned, they might do that, and we certainly have had plenty of wet spots where they never had wet spots before. But I wouldn't give completely up on those things. I think I'd move them someplace, other place in the yard, and see how they do. They also like 100% sunshine. If you can find a place where they're not shaded at all, that will work.
They have good sun.
There's good sun. Well,
yeah.
You need to do some scouting around and find out what's going down underneath those things, if they are wet or dry. Where are you getting them, by the way?
I bought them at a nursery. I bought the one plant at a nursery a year ago.
Okay, well, that's what you need to do. A lot of times if you get stuff that comes from the neighbors, they've got a lot of rotted rhizomes on them and so forth, and they really don't start very well. But if you bought new plants, the other thing you need to remember is that a small plant coming in a pot is going to take at least 3 years before you get it up to production size.
Did you say 3 years?
Okay.
Did you say 3 years?
Yeah, the third year you can begin cutting it.
I thought it was two. Okay, and when you do harvest it, do you pull up the stalks or do you break them off?
I pull them.
You pull them up. Okay.
Right.
Well, the stalks look beautifully red. They're about 7 and 8 and 9 inches long, but I won't harvest. I'll leave them alone.
No, I wouldn't harvest them at that size. Wait till the plant gets vigorous. And when you do harvest them, the first year that you begin harvesting those things, you don't harvest them until they don't do anything anymore. As soon as the petioles, that's what you're taking off, as soon as they get start being smaller, stop, because that means the plant's used up what energy it had saved up in the root system, and you need to let it recoup.
Okay.
So you can you can just bring that rhubarb pie right down here to WGN.
And I make a good one. I make a really good one.
I'll bet you do.
Well, I'll be there too, Dean. Let me know when they're
arriving. Yeah, I was going to call you. We'll have a big rhubarb pie party down here. 11:45, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Longtime friend of WGN, Jim Fizell, consulting horticulturist, joining us to answer your gardening questions for today. Jim, do you remember in what year you first appeared on WGN?
I do. 1961.
How about that?
I was a baby.
Wow.
So yeah. Orion and I started, we started at WGN when the studios were up way up in the Tribune Tower.
Yeah.
Back in 1961 with John Omberg, as a matter of fact. John
How about
was
that?
Still around at that time. By the way, I had another thought about Carolyn's rhubarb.
Yes.
We had a situation in our yard a number of years ago where I couldn't figure out what happened to my rhubarb because it died. Then I discovered that a lawn care company and one of the neighbors had sprayed, and they had a lot of overspray, and they did a number on the stuff. Now, it killed it, as a matter of fact, and weed killers will do that because this is a broadleaf plant. Weed killers that are going to be used in the lawn will kill broadleaf weeds, and that's what it did. So there's a thought there. If somebody has used weed killer in that area, you might check and see, especially if the plants are small.
Let me run through a couple of quick text questions here. Someone said, I bought peonies for my mom, peony bulbs for my mom. When should I plant them?
Well, this is really not a good time to do it unless they're in pots. If they're in pots, you plant them now. If they're not in pots, normally they are not available until fall, and you plant them in the fall.
Okay.
But in pots, you can plant them anytime.
So if you bought just bulbs in a bag, fall is the time to plant those to come up next spring.
If you already have them, you've got to get them in the ground.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And here's one that says, I have a problem with the lower leaves on my tomato plants turning black mid-season and spreading to the rest of the plant. What should I do?
Well, there's some foliar diseases that cause that, and what you really need to do is to check the varieties that you're growing and see whether they get early blight, late blight, any of these foliar blights later in the season. And if they're resistant to that, that's what you want to grow. If they're not resistant to that, you're just going to have to suffer with that. One of the other things you need to do is make sure that you have plenty of aeration. If you're trying to grow them on the ground, you're not going to get good aeration. If you can grow them in cages, don't put the cages so close together that the plants get on top of each other.
Spread,
make enough room for the breeze to go through and dry them out.
Yeah. Here's one that says, is it too late to plant grass seed?
No, not at all.
This is a good time for grass seed right now, isn't it?
It's a good time for grass seed. You may have a few weeds come in, but that you can take care of later. What you need to do is get the seed down now. And the blends that you can buy in the garden centers are mostly half bluegrass, half perennial ryegrass, turf-type perennial rye. That should be up very quickly. The ryegrass will come up and will protect the bluegrass until it begins to grow. So that can be done now. It can be done probably for the next couple of weeks without any trouble. Then we're going to get into hot weather, or we may get into hot weather, possibly into drier weather, then it becomes a little more problematic. Not that it can't be done. It can be done. It just takes a little more work to take care of it and get it up and growing.
Yeah, Donna's in Glenview calling for Jim Fizell. You're on WGN.
Hey, good morning, Dean and Jim.
Good morning.
I've got a box. Oh, good morning. Excuse me. I've got a box filler that it's got buds but no leaves yet, and usually every year, guys, this thing is the first tree to put leaves on. And usually after that, and I got a maple tree that has those whirly seeds that go flying all over the place.
Right.
I wait till early, and then I call my gutter guy. Should I be concerned about the trees, especially the box elder?
The box elder?
Yeah.
You were breaking up a little bit. I didn't really hear what you said about it.
He said normally...
I got a box elder. Usually it sprouts the leaves early. Right now it's just got buds on the tree.
What's the story on that, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you. We have not accumulated very many degree days. You know, I use a catalpa tree across the street as a guideline, and usually we say you don't want to plant tomatoes. In fact, our good old farmer friend Scoofus used to say, don't plant tomatoes until the catalpa leaves are the size of your hand. I went out yesterday before I talked to Orion to see how big they are. The leaves are the size of my thumb.
Uh-oh. I may be in trouble. Cellars. I put a lot of tomatoes in yesterday. Uh-oh.
Well, you know, you can protect them. If you have 30 acres of the stuff, then you got a little bit of a risk by doing that.
Right.
But with the maple trees and the seeds, if they have a heavy seed load, they've made their business to produce the seeds, and they're going to be late leafing out. The sycamore trees are late leafing out this year, not because they're not making leaves, but because the leaves are being eaten off by a fungus disease that attacks them when you have wet weather. We've had cool, wet weather, just exactly what you need for the disease. So I wouldn't be worried about these things. Just wait for the weather to warm up, start accumulating degree days, and these things will adjust themselves.
All right, so let's hopefully that will work for you, Don. Let's go to Linda real quick on WGN. Hello.
Good morning, guys. Have a happy Memorial Day.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I have a question. Somebody was talking about a plant. I don't know if it's an inside or an outside plant, but when it gets evening, the leaves will fold up and look like it's praying. Do you know what that is?
I don't for sure, no.
I'd like to buy one.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to be able to buy one.
It's a plant?
I'm not sure what that would be.
It's a plant that looks like hands praying at night?
Yeah, towards evening at night, it begins to fold up the leaves, too, and it looks like it's praying.
All right. Well, maybe somebody... Go ahead.
Don't know what that would be. There are a lot of plants that where the flowers are closed up and the leaves may close up at night, but I don't know one that would make my cancer praying. But, well, I guess that would be, but I'm not sure what that might be.
Yeah, maybe somebody will call in and might know what that
right.
is. Thanks for the call, Linda. I talked with Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas on TV the other day. I'm going to share that interview with you coming up after 12 o'clock. Talking with Jim Fizell, consulting horticulturist, answering your questions to help you out with your holiday weekend gardening a little bit. 312-981-7200. Hi, Sandy, you're on with Jim on WGN.
Hi. This year I have Lily of the Valley coming up underneath my peonies, which are about 3 or 4 feet high already. If, how, and when can I transplant the Lily of the Valley so I can keep them?
Well, they're so vigorous and so rambunctious and so easy to transplant, you can move them practically any time. I wouldn't worry about when you move them and get them someplace where they're not going to spread so badly that they interfere with other things, because they do spread. I've had them grow through patios and all kinds of stuff. They're beautiful when they're in bloom, but put them someplace where you can keep them under control. If you pull them out this time of year, pull some roots with them and just plant them where you want them, and they'll go ahead and grow.
And speaking of plants that spread like crazy, Roberta, you're on WGN.
Yes, I planted, the rhubarb came up for like 30 years, and I planted mint, not real close to it, but near it, and I think it killed it.
Well, it could do that because it'll just smother it out. It'll take all the nutrients out of the soil. But mint is extremely rambunctious. In fact, we often say the only way you can contain it is to pour concrete around it. It just keeps going and going and going. Once you get it, you got it. It could kill the rhubarb by just strangling it. It takes all the nutrients out of the soil. The rhubarb can't grow. It may keep it too wet because it's going to be hovering all around that rhizome, which should be at the soil surface, and it may cover it so it doesn't dry out. It, it's just all kinds of things. To go ahead and move the stuff out of the way that's growing with it, mint is something that you don't need an awful lot of it. So you take out what you need, get rid of the rest, but don't put it elsewhere in the garden. Put it in the recycler or someplace like that where it's not going to get where you don't want it.
Yeah, it is extremely aggressive. What about growing it in a pot? Will that work?
Sure does.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that does.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Jim, that plant that the previous caller was asking about, that at night it looks like the leaves close their hands to pray. A lot of people calling in and saying that they believe it's called a praying plant.
So, well, I know about praying plant. That may be what she has there. Didn't dawn on me. But, yeah, that's probably what that is. Yeah. I can't tell you what the species is on it or anything like that.
Yeah, so
I'm sure you can get that online.
Yeah, if she's interested, that's what a lot of people are saying it might be. Here is Jeff in Rockford. You're on WGN.
How you doing?
Hey, bud.
Hey, listen, I got a vegetable garden. I haven't planted it this year, but it got overrun by those kind of spiky weeds. I think it's some kind of thistle or something very common. And I'm trying to get rid of all that and kill it off, but then be able to plant my vegetables. Is there a good way to do that?
Well, you can hold them out, but you're not going to get the root out of them. If they're vigorously growing right now but still kind of small, you could try Roundup on them. And I'm talking about the glyphosate Roundup, not the one that they use on lawns nowadays. But glyphosate Roundup will work. Thistles, there are some old-time herbicides that will work on those, but if you put them on there, you're probably not going to want to plant your garden for a year. So I would try the Roundup once you gets it on the plant and the plant has absorbed it. The amount that gets on the soil is quickly eaten up by the soil organism, so you don't need to worry about it. But if you're going to do that, spray the plants, wait until you see that they're really going to die. If they aren't going to die, they may rear their ugly heads again, and you're going to have to retreat them. But that's the thing to use, a herbicide to get rid of them. The roots are, these plants get massive root systems. Many of them are native to this area. They're part of our prairie ecosystem, and a part of the way prairie maintains itself, it puts down so much root, so many roots that nothing else will grow. So you don't want that to happen. Just get it out of there as soon as you can.
Somebody, and, I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead, finish.
No, what did I start to say? Yeah, get it out as soon as you can and keep it out. If it tries to rear its ugly head again, even after you get your plants in the garden, take your hoe out there and hoe it out. Keep hoeing it out until you've killed it.
All right. Somebody on the text line says, my bushes and plants are underwater due to flooding. Will they survive? What can I do?
Well, it depends on how long they're underwater. A lot of our plant materials will take 12 hours underwater, and then the soil dries out, and they're fine. You may have to cultivate the soil a little bit when it begins to dry out so that you get a little bit of aeration. But you're not going to know whether they're going to survive or not until the water goes down and see whether they go ahead and grow. Now, I have some plants that have been inundated year after year in a part of the yard, and I think, my gosh, they're not going to make it this year, and sure enough, that year they shudder a little bit and go ahead and grow. So I wouldn't dig them out or try to kill them off until you're sure they're done. The other thing you want to do is, if that's an area that always floods, you need to do something to arrange to get your plant material out of the water. You can tile the area if you have a lower spot that you can run the water.
Right.
You can raise the grade. If it's garden plants, you can use raised benches. They work very nicely because the soil in the raised benches above that area that floods. But it takes a little bit of ingenuity to figure out how to do it. I can't tell you whether they're going to survive. I wish I could tell you that, but that's just going to be up to nature.
All right, Jim, it's fantastic to talk to you. I really appreciate your time, as always. Maybe we can check back in during the summertime to answer more questions. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Hope you have a great summer. It's always a treat to talk to you.
It's a treat to talk to you. I got one more question for you, Dean.
Yes, sir.
How many years ago did you make that Victory Auto Spot?
1991.
91.
Yeah.
It's been around a long time.
1991. Hey, why change it? Why change it? It's a classic.
You got it. It certainly is.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.